This News Talk 1010 podcast is brought to you by PocketEmploymentLawyer.ca. Wrongfully dismissed? Changes made to your job? Lowballed on severance? Find out if you have a case before you call a lawyer. Go to PocketEmploymentLawyer.ca.
Welcome back to The Rush. It's Ryan and Jay. You can text us at 71010. Lots of people felt like you were dadding them there.
I'm sorry, you just got to give people the whole picture. That's all I'm trying to do. That's why I'm here. Don't want the whole picture, I'll just say, yeah, go to the website, check out your postal code, and then go have a rager. Do your thing.
It's all good.
It's not how it works. Not how it works.
We're live at 416-872-1010. As mentioned, text the show at 71010 this afternoon. You still got more questions. We've got a list of them for him right now, but if you have another question for Toronto Mayor John Tory, make sure you send that along, won't you? The mayor joins us now. Hello, sir.
Hello, guys. How you doing?
Really well, thank you.
Good.
How are you doing? You okay?
Great. Yeah, top shape. Thank you.
Good. Oh, top shape. There you go. Showing off now. Let's start off with this conversation about the postal codes and being able to enter in your postal code and finding out the number of people infected in your area when it comes to COVID-19. I'm not against the interactive map. I think information is useful. All I've been simply saying here this afternoon, and maybe you'll back me up, maybe you won't, is that areas that have these lower rates on them aren't necessarily safer. People can be mobile. People can travel. We've got asymptomatic people. There are all sorts of intangibles that this map doesn't describe. It simply gives you a bit of a snapshot. Am I right or wrong?
You are 100% right, and I hope nobody takes whatever they see on this map or the data as being an indication that somehow that means they're in the clear. You know, that if they don't engage in physical distancing, or if they don't wash their hands, or if they hang out in crowd scenes, or 100 other things you could mention, because what this identifies is where people live who've tested positive. It doesn't mean anybody got it in that neighborhood. They might have, but more likely that the first person that got it from a given neighborhood has gone to work somewhere, been on the transit, or, you know, been here or there and got it in that way. So it means to anybody, wherever they live, because this virus does not pick or choose, you know, which people it infects and which people it doesn't. It means you have to adopt the right habits and you'll have less chance of getting the virus. It has much less to do with where you live.
So then I guess the follow-up to that is, and I'm guessing when you're having these conversations with the Chief Medical Officer of Health, there was probably a discussion as to whether or not you wanted to release the data, not release the data by postal code. Did that factor in? I mean, it might have weighed on you a little bit that people might use this information the wrong way or look at it the wrong way.
But, you know, I generally opt, and, you know, some people might not agree with this, including you guys, I generally do opt for the disclosure of all information. And municipal government is the level of government because we have no secret cabinet meetings and no, you know, secret meetings of any kind where pretty well everything's on the table. And I think this data belongs in the hands of the public, responsibly explained by people like the Medical Officer of Health in particular, and to a lesser extent, me. And then hopefully we educate people so as to have the discussion we just had. Nobody should assume because of where they live that they're safe from this, but also people should not conclude on the basis of neighborhoods that have had a higher prevalence of this that somehow means there's something, you know, bad going on in those neighborhoods. It probably relates more than anything else to the kind of work they might do and the settings in which they work, to the way that they live in terms of their housing accommodations, where you have large families living in a small apartment where it becomes very difficult to self-isolate and that sort of thing. But people should not draw conclusions, but I do feel it's the right thing to do to make the information public, and then what really goes with it to me is an obligation for us all collectively to support the neighborhoods where there's been a higher prevalence so we can try and bring that, you know, bring that number down.
Let's talk a little bit about the incoming circles.
The last time I told Ryan he was 100% right. I don't think it's ever happened.
There's a first for everything, Mr. Mayor. This is a banner day for me.
Even a broken clock's right twice a day.
See, you went and ruined it. You ruined it.
I couldn't resist. Anyway, never mind.
That's a great thing, Ryan. I don't even have to lead him down the path. He just jumps
just
ahead
goes himself,
during the hike right away, which is fantastic. So let's talk a bit about Trinity Bellwoods Park. We're going to hear we're going to have privacy circles. Is this going to be a little bit of a, you know, I love to use the term because it drives Dave McKee crazy, but is this going to be a bit of a pilot project for other parks? Are we going to take a close look at this, make sure people respect it and have bylaw officers out, and then move this to other areas of the city as we move into different phases?
Now that I know Dave McKee hates the phrase pilot project, I'll be using it with great frequency on this program. But the answer is yes. I mean, I think we're doing it because we've seen it done successfully in other cities. And, you know, you'd like to think you don't have to do it, but this certainly makes it easier when all those circles are going to be on the park grass, that people will know these circles are the right distance apart. And then what they have to do, of course, is to discipline themselves to sit in the circle, 2 meters apart. And when I was there on the famous visit, I could see that not only were people sitting in groups that were too close to each other, but also the people in the groups were sitting like literally shoulder to shoulder. And my opening line with them, because I didn't want to go there and sort of starting to yell at them, I wasn't trying to do that, was to say, well, I assume you guys all live together. And of course I knew the answer to that couldn't possibly be yes, in most 99% of cases. So it'll help, and we'll see how it helps with compliance. And I think it certainly makes it much clearer what the expected behavior is. And I would say without hesitation that if it works well, we could do it in other parks where that has been a problem. Many parks, it has not been a problem. People, figure this out for themselves. But we'll do what we can do to help stop the spread of the virus. That's the game plan here.
We had the premier today, of course, announcing that they'll be establishing an independent commission like the SARS commission into what has been going on in our long-term care facilities. A number of those fall within the city's borders. Is this the steps you'd like to see as mayor when we talk about long-term care?
Well, we have to have a very thorough, very transparent, very complete investigation into this. And people can get, caught up in talking about public inquiry versus an independent commission. Well, here's what really matters. Who is the person or who are the people that are appointed? Are they people that are above and beyond reproach and will look at this no holds barred? Secondly, are the terms of reference such they can call any witness without, regard to who they are, including people with lived experience and people who have worked there in the past and may have some stories to tell and so on? It's about transparency and completeness. And so to me, the legal mechanism you use matters much less. And I've seen the premier and how upset he is about this. And this is, by the way, something that goes back for, governments going back a long way. And so to me, it's not about the precise mechanism. It's about the completeness of the investigation. And if it can be done faster and better and just as thorough by an independent review, then I'm just in favor of getting on with it.
Kathy wants to know from 7:10:10 this afternoon, can you please ask Mayor John Tory, is he satisfied with the level of contact tracing that we have here in Toronto right now?
We were talking about it this morning, and it's been one of those things that's been an expanding target because, of course, as you test more people, which we're doing, and it's been a bit of a, that's been a bit of a challenge for us all, and especially the province, which is responsible, you get more positive results, of course, because you're testing more people. And so we've been ramping up, and you may have seen this week we did a deal with the Nurses Association, the RNAO, to have, I think, 200 nurses come and help us do more work. We're looking at our performance numbers very carefully. And we're continuing to improve those numbers. They were never bad, but they need to be even better. And so I'll just say to you, we're, applying every resource we possibly can to making sure we get that contact tracing done as quickly and as thoroughly as possible. And I think we're doing quite well.
One of the other questions we had, and it kind of relates back to the postal code question, and this might be more pie in the sky, a little bit of a big picture thing, but does this kind of, when we talk about the postal codes in some of these areas, you talk about, being buildings, people where, places where you've got a 60-story apartment building or 50-story apartment building. A lot of people want to know, does this change the way this city is built going forward in the future? Is this going to have any impact on that, knowing that people are more susceptible? They've got to share elevators. They've got common living spaces, that type of thing.
I think it's going to share more the way you live in those buildings and the fact that, we don't have much choice in this city but to build up because there's no way to build out. In other words, there's no land left in the city to really do a lot of the sort of good old-fashioned, kind of single family, whether it be large or small dwellings of that kind. So we have to build up. So then it becomes a matter, like in my building where I live, there's a clear diagram outside the elevator. It's not a rule, but it's a kind of a practice that says three people on the elevator and there's little X's telling you where you stand in the elevator. And I think we're just going to have to, and I haven't noticed, by the way, a real deterioration in elevator service. Only once in my case have I had to actually not get on the elevator because there were already three people on it. So I just think it's ways in which we live that will change. And there may be some changes to built form, but maybe it means you have to have more elevators in buildings. That might be, a lot of people would say that would be a good idea anyway, but there will be changes. But those are the ones that I think we'll get to later once we figure out how to sort of reopen the businesses and how to get the transit system moving properly and all those other things we're worrying about today.
Now, we've got about 90 seconds left, and we wanted to mention, we understand that you have a birthday coming up over the next couple of days?
No comment. No.
Come on. It's your birthday tomorrow, Tory. I know it's your birthday.
Yesterday. Even more importantly, it's my wedding anniversary today.
Oh.
Wonderful.
Here I am talking to you, but never
mind.
So will there be a large family Zoom meeting for the birthday and for the anniversary as well?
No, there won't be, because I've got a city council meeting tomorrow for my sins. You see, this just goes to show you no good deeds go unpunished. That's how I'm celebrating my birthday at a lengthy virtual city council meeting, hopefully to be doing some good for the people, moving ahead some housing projects and things like that that we're doing at city council.
Maybe you can make your Zoom background.
You young whippersnappers will find out that as you get further on in birthdays, they matter less and less. They matter in a certain way more because you're still around, but they matter less because they all sort of blur together, and that's just it.
Well, here's my suggestion. You make your Zoom background tomorrow a Chuck E. Cheese kids' birthday party.
Yeah, exactly. I used to go there with take our kids to the Chuck E. Cheese. That was quite a deal.
I hear you were great at the ski ball.
Off your back, that's a great business.
Let me say, though, in all honesty, on behalf of our listeners and all the people who you've worked with over the years here at the radio station, happy birthday and happy anniversary to you.
You're very kind. Thanks to you both, and we'll talk to you on Friday.
Sounds great. Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you. Toronto Mayor John Tory. See, I could be nice to him. I mean, for a few seconds. Ski ball's great.
You're always nice. It's just, you know, it's a redheaded stepchild thing. He just doesn't reciprocate. 5:45.
This News Talk 1010 podcast was brought to you by PocketEmploymentLawyer.ca. Wrongfully dismissed? Changes made to your job? Lowballed on severance? Find out if you have a case before you call a lawyer. Go to PocketEmploymentLawyer.ca.